Hey, this is Scott Hanselman with Channel 9. I'm here at PDC with Patrick Gantz, one of the architects of the cloud container that we're looking at right here. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very, very well, thank you. Welcome to the PDC Container Group for Azure.
And what group are you with, sir?
I'm with Data Center Services, the team that's responsible for architecting Microsoft's future data center infrastructure.
Okay, and this is a cloud. I mean, we can hear it in the background.
Yeah, you can hear the fans in the background. Yes, you can. So I'm gonna give you guys a tour through here real quick. And kind of show you the ins and outs, and maybe a little more technical than usual. That was requested, so we'll dive deep a little bit. So here we go. So what you see here, this is, before we start, I just want to mention that a lot of people think this is a container. It's not actually a container. This is an air handling unit, right? This particular system, when we're through going, giving the tour, you're going to see that it's very different than any of the containers that anyone has ever seen. We have containers right now in Chicago, in our data center in Chicago, and there are a lot of our OEM partners that provide containers to us as well as to global partners, and they're all based on a standard shipping container where they purchase a standard shipping container and they cut it with a welding torch. This is a custom air handling unit, and it's CE and ETL listed as a custom air handling unit. In fact, the servers that are in this unit are actually classified as heaters. So it's a really interesting concept, and I just wanted you to understand that when we're going through here, because the fact that the servers are classified as heaters really helped us understand what we'd have to do to maintain temperature that's required in order to keep the warranty of these servers at a certain high and low temperature and certain high and low relative humidity. So all this stuff will come full circle by the time we're done. So what you see here are filters, right? And we modify or change these filters based on where the unit's being deployed globally. This is a fairly simple filter, obviously, for the demonstration. But you can think of it as if you were in Dubai or if you were in some other location that had different particulates, whether it was smog, whether it was sand, or whatever it was, you'd have to adjust the filters based on the location. So that's why we have them removable and replaceable. This is probably the most replaceable piece on the unit. You'd have to do maybe on a quarterly basis, depending on the environment. On the outside of here, if you don't mind just kind of going around a little bit, I just wanted to show you real quick that there's a louver system. You can see there's louvers all the way along the side. So there's three sets of louvers, right? And these three sets of louvers are all connected to a central control system. In fact, this entire unit is controlled remotely, right? So it can be controlled remotely, excuse me. The brains of the unit is actually over in this location. So you have the incoming power and the breakers, et cetera. You have dual bus bars. You can see there's bus bar trip breakers in there. What you have up here is the monitoring control system. We have the mechanical electrical system monitoring all going into a central unit. So we're going to step inside a little bit, and I'll give you a little bit more information on what's inside.
All right.
So what you have here is a louver motor, which I mentioned is maintains the talks to the control system and allows you to modulate the louvers. You have a louver up here, which is on a little bit larger than the one on the inside. There's actually a louver on the inside, which you'll probably see better when we walk through the middle. So what these louvers do is they modulate the air around this simple solution, which is an evaporative cooler, adiabatic cooler. Some people call it a swamp cooler, but I don't technically think it's a swamp cooler. So what happens is you have outside air, and this entire system is really based on sucking in outside air into the system through the adiabatic cooler. Okay, and so I'm going to go through a scenario of various global locations so you can really understand how the system works. So we'll get into the servers and the stuff behind me here shortly. So what happens is you have outside air coming into the unit, and you have the control system that's actually understanding, based on sensors that are on the outside of the unit for ambient controls, understanding the ambient temperature and humidity and things like that. So based on the outside air, the system itself will be modulating back and forth the louvers and sucking in the right amount of air. So how does it suck in this air? It sucks in this air based, it's a negative air pressure system. So one of the key components to this entire system is a set of fans, which you're going to see here shortly, that are in the back of the unit. So it's pulling the air, and as you get closer to the unit, you can feel it starting to suck you in. And when we turn the fans on and shortly, you'll really feel the suction of the fans. So based on an enormous amount of research, we found that this design is capable of supporting fanless servers. And we may be a little bit away from that right now, but we're just working with OEMs and partners to let them know that their engineering staff to work with us to understand what kind of a airflow model we have going through here so that they can potentially in the future remove the fans from their servers. So again, up here you see is a small little water pipe. And this water pipe is only used to spray water over the adiabatic coolers. And I didn't really go into that in much detail, so I'll back up. Adiabatic coolers are a really simple concept that was invented, I think, by the Egyptians and improved by the Romans. It's used globally. It's a very simple thing. I mean, you just trickle water over a media. In this case, we're using a fiberglass honeycomb media, which you can cut to any size. And it's sitting within this removable mechanism here, a plate. And what we do is we spray a tiny bit of water over this, depending on the needs of the servers themselves. So we have to keep servers between 50 and 95 degrees Fahrenheit. So as long as we're keeping the air consistent to the front of the face of the server rack, between 50 and 95 degrees, we're doing our job on temperature. And if we do, and we have to keep the humidity level between, I think it's 20 and 80 degrees percent relative humidity. So we do that with this simple adiabatic cooler. Okay, so the water pipe that comes in here is, and this is a story in itself. This is a major leap forward, and I would consider this a paradigm shift when it comes to data centers. Anybody that knows data centers understands that even if you look at the containers that we have today, right, we have, we ourselves, Microsoft, have a number of containers in our facilities. And they currently require a chilled water system. You know, it's a large, expensive chilled water system that keeps the water at a certain temperature, right around 65 degrees, I think. And large containers pulling through about 280 gallons a minute of water to keep the system cool, right? So the water travels through the container and back out and back into the treatment system, and then it's used over and over and over again, and then some of it becomes wastewater. Well, I'm gonna walk around here and show you something that's pretty amazing, and we're really happy about it. This system runs on a standard garden hose at room temperature water. And as I mentioned before, the reality of this system is that you don't actually need to use the water 24/7. Right, we only need to use the water to do two things, either increase humidity or decrease temperature for those servers. Okay. And so I'm going to walk you around this direction. We're going to show you the power source and the fans in the back of the servers. So what you have coming into the unit is, we don't have any network connectivity because it's a demonstration, but you have 280 volts at, I think it's three phase to neutral. Coming into this unit, and behind this wall here, which you can see shortly, is a 250 kW transformer. So inside the unit, one of the things I didn't mention when I was standing over there, you have nine racks in this unit. This is a proof of concept. So our focus wasn't as much on getting as much rack space as we possibly could. But a lot of people have asked, what's in this? What is the rack units or the number of racks, etc. So I can tell you, well, there's nine racks at 45 U apiece. That's about 405 U. And typically, the research we've done, we've seen OEM supply servers for containerization around two, potentially three motherboards per rack unit. Right, so that's actually quite a bit of density, even in this small box. And it is a demonstration POC box that we have here. But I also want to make a comment that this POC box is actually deployed and connected to one of our data centers today. Yeah, it is. And we're utilizing it at that data center. And it's usually using some excess power that data center had available, right? So we're actually, it's a win-win situation for us at Microsoft. We're able to do a proof of concept, continue our data center research and engineering, and at the same time utilize excess power that Microsoft was paying for into this unit so we can continue and house a customer. We actually do house a customer in this unit. So back here you see the transformer. This is a single transformer that provides a single power source. I get a lot of questions about redundancy, dual core servers. You know, a lot of technical people come by and want to know information. And the reality is that because this is a POC unit, our main focus was in understanding the negative air pressure system on servers. Right. So what's actually inside this unit are two bus bars, right? An A and a B bus bar. And you could technically take that A and a B bus bar and push that A and B all the way back to utility and have dual corded systems and full redundancy. There is no UPS in this system. Now, we've seen everything from rack-mounted UPS and various containerized infrastructure, but because this is one key component to an overall Gen 4 strategy, we have, as you can see from the video that's over here, when people are kind of going around looking at the video, you'll see that, and that's been online for, I think, at least since August of last year. You'll see that the video shows a lot of different shapes of square boxes, and those are packs, we call those, pre-assembled components. And this is one of those. This is the IT pack. And so what this allows us to do is rapidly deploy large volumes of servers I won't quote exactly how quickly, but typical data centers, people out there that do construction data centers, anywhere from 18 to 24 months. And we're hoping to get this down to 3 to 6 months. discipline. So what this allows us to do is that all the servers are installed at the manufacturer. You know, we're working very close with partners to be able to install server systems into our IT packs and have them shipped to the site. You ship them, plug them in, and you basically have a mobile USB stick. Just a lot more powerful. Okay? So what you see here are racks. In the back of the racks, we have standard data center PDUs, power sources or power strips for those people that aren't too familiar with that. These particular servers were provided to us for this demonstration. They are the Dell servers that someone would typically see in a containerized infrastructure. They're very powerful servers. I get a lot of questions about that. People have quoted things online. I can tell you these servers are 2U, 4 motherboard servers, and I cannot get into the details of the RAM and the processors, etc., but if you do the math, we have 9 racks times 45U, 2 motherboards on average. In this demonstration, it's about 820 to 830 servers. So what our team is typically seeing in a 20-foot is about 1,000 to 1,200 actual motherboards. Now that is different than procs and VMs and all the virtual stuff that Azure can do with a containerized system like this. We're in the infrastructure, so we talk about hardware and motherboards.
Right.
So in a 40-foot unit, you're looking anywhere from 21 to 2,400 motherboards, right? And so whatever you can do with that, more power to you. Okay. So what you see above you are the fans. So we took a lot of effort into choosing the fans that we wanted to use in this unit. Again, these are the things that suck the air out of the unit, and they perform two functions. They pull the air from the other side of the unit through the servers and out and exit it. Exit hot air, pull the cool air, and exit the hot air. But in certain climates, like colder climates, we won't go into the temperatures, but we'll go colder climates, we utilize the heat of the servers. As I mentioned before, we're coming full circle. Right, the servers are classified as heaters. So what happens is the heat from the servers is actually, and we provided glass for this unit. This is not typical outside of our IT pack. But it pulls the hot air back over the unit. And if you call those louver systems, where you modulate those louvers to use that hot air effectively, and you're talking about around 125 degrees temperature of air. Right. So when you're standing outside of this unit, you can kind of feel it's fairly cool. It should be fairly cool, and the fans should not be running a whole lot. And why? Because we want to keep our PUE down. If those of you that are not familiar with that, it's basically power usage efficiency or effectiveness. This particular unit runs about 1.06. Okay. So for anyone that knows data centers, that's a pretty low number. And really all we have are the servers, an SCIT load, the compute power, and you have some fans up here. You have some minor losses from the transformer itself, but those are included in that 1.06 number. Now, typical Microsoft, I can't quote that as being our average number. So I would say about 1.6 to 1.22 we're seeing in our containerized environments, which is just amazing for us, right? So not only are we trying to lower, or we're doing very effectively lowering the cost of our infrastructure and our ability to be modular and rapidly deploy, but we are also really driving down things like water usage and the amount of, I'll just get right to it. We're able to fine-tune as best we can the amount of power that's coming into this unit and the amount of power that is available to compute power. That's somewhat difficult to do if you're familiar with large data center co-locations. For example, 10,000 square feet, we have 20 by 8 feet here, 8 foot 6, excuse me. So again, you have the racks and the servers, the fans, and that's pretty much it. If you'd like to walk around and actually walk through the unit. So we're going to walk through the unit while one of the architects of the unit spins up the fans, and it might get kind of loud. I just want you to experience the cold air from this simple design of an evaporative cooler. So right now you're not going to feel it too much, but what you're going to feel is as this thing spins up, the water, you can already feel it, right? It's cold. That's just from the room temperature within this building that's flowing through this thing. And as you can hear it, the doors from the suction of those fans are going to slam the door behind me shut. Hopefully not on me. Okay, pardon me, guys. Thank you, Matthew. So what you hear now is a typical scenario where you have a really, really hot environment, okay? And this really hot environment outside, well, let's say it's Dubai, or if it's Singapore, or someplace like that. What you're going to feel is the suction from the outside coming through. You feel that cold air? Okay? It's just cold air. That's just room temperature water that's being trickled down through here at 2 gallons per minute. That's one of the things I might not have mentioned. At 280 gallons per minute in a typical data center container, we're down to about 2 gallons per minute. Only when you need it. So it's not 24/7. demonstration, we actually installed these larger-than-life sensors we have here, just to basically show you that we have the temperature and humidity sensors monitoring this face of the servers, because it's really important to us to ensure that we warranty, we live within the manufacturer's warranty. And that is, again, 1595 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's all. Suction for you. So there you see some of the effects of the suction on the unit. And to end this, we'll actually let it do its job.
Cool. Wow. Thank you, Patrick, for taking the time to walk us through this on Channel 9. It's amazing stuff here at PDC 09 in Los Angeles. One of the Windows Azure boxes. We'll see you again.